anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Those of you who've already hit the like button, that's very nice. I had a great Thanksgiving. Some of my friends from grad school came over. It was very weird to have like 5 days off. It always is. I always feel very detached from things. And I don't know if you're feeling that too. Like there was stuff going on, not as much as usual, but there was stuff going on. We're gonna have to do a little bit of catching up together. But the way that this is gonna go is if you saw our last Shed show, a little bit less formal than usual. I'm gonna be occasionally whipping the camera around to show you video clips and things like that. We'll see if that even remotely works. And we will be responding to your comments and tweets and super chats and all that as we go. So, you know, send those to us and everything. But anyway, thank you for being here. Some people are saying we can't get on the YouTube members page. Okay, we're gonna see if the team can deal with that. Someone says it feels like a pre-show. It does. Couldn't do the actual pre-show because we were preparing for this. But thank you, everyone, for being here. Yeah, we're gonna get Twitch. No, I think the Twitch is. I think it's working. I think if you're on Twitch, I think you're there. I think it's actually working. Everyone, hold for 1 second. John has very tiny, pointy ears. Thank you. I appreciate that. I had an ear job during Thanksgiving break. I'm glad that everyone is noticing it. Anyway, we had a little power problems at the studio or whatever. And it's the sort of thing that normally we can fairly quickly resolve. 1 day, 2 days max, we'll deal with that. But it's like the holiday, so I don't think anyone wanted to be forced to spend like the whole weekend resolving all these problems and everything. And if the cost of, like, everyone getting to actually experience the holiday is that we do a Shed show or whatever, I think it's fine. I think it's personally fine. Hopefully, you will like it as well. What I can say is that we do have something like 90 minutes of news for you. I don't know exactly how long it's going to go. I can't see a clock. But we will have news in just a minute. And like I said, I'll still be responding to your comments and everything. I can see. I have both of your things, so that should work pretty well. Anyway, with that, who's ready to talk about some news? You want to see what's been going on? Okay. There have been some awful right-wingers recently who have tried to make a name for themselves exclusively by being the absolute worst. Marjorie Greene pops up on your radar for that reason pretty much every week. Paul Gosar this month made a very strong play for worst guy in the country. Lauren Boebert is not going to be left behind when it comes to being awful. She wants to be King Clown. And so she had this event, some people were hanging out with her, and she just went on a tear saying the worst things that she could come up with. So we're going to show a few of those to you. We're going to be starting off, though, with her most recent Islamophobic comments. So for the first time of many on this show, I'm going to be whipping you around. So just hold.
Actually, I have an Ilhan story for you. So, the other night on the House floor was not my first Jihad Squad moment. So I was getting into an elevator with one of my staffers. And he and I we're leaving the Capitol. We're going back to my office. And we get in the elevator. And I see a Capitol police officer running hurriedly to the elevator. I see fret all over his face. And he's reaching. And I'm like, what? I can't, the door's shutting. Like, I can't open it. Like, what's happening? I look to my left, and there she is, Ilhan Omar. Whoops. And I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack, we should be fine. So we only had one floor to go, and I was like, do I say it or not? I looked over, and I said, oh, look, the Jihad Squad decided to show up for work today. Don't worry, it's just her staffers on Twitter that talk for her. She's not tough in person. She doesn't, yes. So, there's a little bit of interaction with these folks.
Let's evaluate a few things that happened there. One, she starts off that whole thing by saying, this wasn't my first Jihad Squad thing, but that all you mean by that is that you've supposedly done Islamophobic things in the past? Well, that's awesome. That's great. I thought you were newly Islamophobic. Oh, okay, so you've had a problem with them and you've tried to get people to support you in the absence of any sort of platform or strong positions or knowledge of the issues. by regularly saying Islamophobic things. I see. Okay. So then this thing happened in the elevator. Now, we're going to flash out. I'm going to give you a spoiler. Ilhan Omar says that none of this actually happened. And we get to evaluate whether we think Lauren Boeber is being honest or Ilhan Omar is being honest. So the base of this story is that Lauren Boeber got onto an elevator with someone, and it was Ilhan Omar, and she had no idea for the first 30 seconds who she'd gotten on the elevator with. Do we believe that that is true? Do we believe that despite all of the back and forths they've had, she didn't recognize Ilhan Omar, she didn't know that it was... That's so stupid, so juvenile. And the entire purpose, of course, is the story is, oh, Ilhan Omar, she's Muslim, so she's always at risk of potentially blowing something up. She's a terrorist, okay? Stereotypes are fun. She got on an elevator with someone who is Muslim, so she makes a joke about them blowing up something. Okay, in the same way, I'm sure, because she likes comedy and she doesn't believe that we should be snowflakes, if you got in the elevator with her and she's presumably Christian, you could say, oh God, I was worried that you were going to like rape a choir boy. I thought you were gonna, because you're Christian, you know, and it's fun to make stereotypical jokes about religions. It's not just about Muslims, it's everybody. We do this for everybody, but of course we don't. So, and then we'll get to the last little bit right there as well. But I want to give Ilhan Omar a chance to respond to this apparently totally made-up story that Ilhan Omar said at this gathering for, and let's be clear, just clout. That's it. She has to go before a crowd. And if you do that, have you ever spoken in public? You know, you would ideally like them to cheer for you, to clap, to maybe laugh. So you have to give them something. What does Lauren Boebert believe she has to give? Now, absent this video, forget this video, I could have speculated about what she had to give, but she's showing us what she thinks she has to give, and what she thinks she has to give is Islamophobic jokes. That's it. That's it. Now, Ilhan Omar says, fact, this buffoon looks down when she sees me at the Capitol. This whole story is made up. Sad she thinks bigotry gets her clout. Anti-Muslim bigotry isn't funny and shouldn't be normalized. Congress can't be a place where hateful and dangerous Muslim tropes get no condemnation. It usually is. It regularly is. I mean, we haven't had it to test it very often as a society because we generally have only elected Christians for the most part our entire history. But anyway, she goes on to say, because this isn't the first time that she's been the target of Islamophobic comments like this. First day of Congress, this member who said to Steve knew nothing about me beside the fact that I was Muslim and that somehow made me a terrorist to him. She's referencing the fact that Steve King back in the day had tweeted, Pelosi changed House rules for Ilhan Omar to allow her to wear her turban on the floor. First day, a member said to me, 4 pounds of C4 under that would wipe out half of Congress. Again, it's funny. It's funny because she's a Muslim, so she wants to kill Congress. That's the joke. Now, there's a few things that potentially make it a little bit less funny and a little bit hypocritical, too. Is Ilhan Omar one of the Congress people that is constantly fighting to bring guns on the House floor, thinks that you need to be armed? You have to have a weapon. They joke about her smuggling a weapon in there. They are actively trying to bring a weapon in. Oh, and by the way, in recent history, when people tried to get into Congress and kill our elected representatives, was it Ilhan Omar? Was there a single Muslim in the group? Who was trying to wipe out half of Congress? It was not Ilhan Omar. It was not a Democrat. But to him, it's funny. And again, it's probably made up too. Did a member say that to him? I don't know. Was it Lauren Boebert? I don't know. But he knew that he could make that joke on Twitter and that would get him some retweets. Some conservatives would be into him. In the same way that Lauren Boebert is not going to come with the Green New Deal. She's not going to come with a public housing plan. She's not going to help you with your mortgage or your student loan debt. She doesn't care about that. She also doesn't know about that. But even if she did know the details, she wouldn't care to do anything about it. What she does know is that many people in the Republican base are as simple-minded as she is. It's a variation of what we've always had. Republicans for a long time have generally been, you know, Ivy League lawyers and all that stuff who then do all of this stuff for, in their view, the Republican simpletons, okay? In this case, they've sort of cut out the middleman. They're just electing the Republican simpletons. When you get Matt Gaetz and her and, you know, Marjorie Greene, they're not sending their best. And she understands that that's what they want. If she can just deliver some fun conspiracy theories and a little bit of Islamophobia, and as we'll get to, some homophobia as well, then that's all you need. Why the hell are you going to spend months consulting with policy experts, putting together bills, trying to get them passed? Why would you do any of that when you can just make a comment about how Ilhan Omar must be some sort of terrorist? Well, we have a few developments on this. I want to give you a little bit more from Ilhan Omar. She said, saying I'm a suicide bomber is no laughing matter. GOP leader and Speaker Pelosi need to take appropriate action. Normalizing this bigotry not only endangers my life, but the lives of all Muslims. Anti-Muslim bigotry has no place in Congress. Now, the surprising, there's two surprises about this action. The first surprise is that the Democratic leadership is actually doing something. They actually seem to care about this. And I honestly think it's because we're so fresh off of the Gosar thing. It would be weird for them to attack Gosar and then totally give a pass to Boebert here. But that's my speculation. What I do know is the House Democratic leadership put out a statement, including this, saying, racism and bigotry in any form, including Islamophobia, must always be called out, confronted, and condemned in any place it is found. Congresswoman Boebert's repeated, ongoing, and targeted Islamophobic comments and actions against another member of Congress, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, are both deeply offensive and concerning. We call upon Congresswoman Boebert to fully retract these comments and refrain from making similar ones going forward. Well, there are two requests there. One is to retract, two is to not do it. We will have to see about the second, but the second shock is that she sort of gave them the first. Now, who apologizes on the right, honestly? Marjorie Greene sort of apologized a little bit specifically for the Holocaust comparisons on the anti-vax stuff. That's it. Not the rest of the stuff. She didn't apologize for the, I think Nancy Pelosi should be shot in the head, the Jewish space lasers, or, you know, I think Q has a couple of good points and he's just a good American. She didn't apologize for any of that. She apologized for the Holocaust thing a little bit. Now, Representative Lauren Boebert, 3 days ago, posted this tweet saying, I apologize to anyone in the Muslim community I offended with my comment about Representative Omar. I have reached out to her office to speak with her directly. There are plenty of policy differences to focus on without this unnecessary distraction. Now, that apology, I'm going to rank as dog stuff, okay? For a few different reasons. Now, first of all, it happened. She apologized. So, how much credit do we give her? She technically apologized. They don't generally do that for a few different reasons. It's not in them. They're not, you know, compassionate people. And they're giving their audience what they want. She didn't accidentally say it. But I apologize to anyone I offended with my comment about Representative Omar. It's not the worst formulation of that. They sometimes say, if I offended anyone, as if they don't know. In this case, I would say, what I said was deeply offensive. That is an honest thing to say. We don't get full honesty from her, but it's not the worst version. There are plenty of policy differences to focus on without this unnecessary distraction. That is also dog stuff, because that is saying the fact that we're talking about this is a distraction. What are you talking about? You brought it up. You made those comments. And I really doubt she's some sort of extemporaneous speaker. I think that she had scripted it. I don't know for sure. But this is not a distraction. This is what she wanted to talk about. And plenty of policy differences. When the hell have you ever talked about a policy difference? In any event, she sort of apologized. Now we're going to have to see what effect that has on what happens. It has already had a couple of little ripples. So let's jump into those. According to Political Playbook, some Democrats, particularly allies of Omar, don't see Boebert's apology as authentic. Well, do you think? Omar's office would not say whether she will take Boebert up on her offer to meet. Why would she? No, honestly, why would she? Do you think that it would change Boebert's behavior going forward? I don't know, maybe you do. Maybe we can have a poll. But other Democrats privately worry that if they punish a lawmaker who admits a mistake and tries to make amends, they'll be setting themselves up for similar treatment or worse under a future GOP majority. The situation highlights the slippery slope Democrats created when they removed MTG from her committees over comments she made before entering Congress. Where do Democrats draw the line? If Democrats don't lower the boom on Boebert, what message would it send to the Muslim community? But if they do, what message does that send to those who apologize for saying something wrong? Okay, I normally hate every single word of political play, but in this case, I only hate most. The fact that she apologized does make this a more interesting case. So get ready to evaluate what I'm about to say. You can type it in, and we'll see. I think that in this case, don't punish her. What do you think? What do you think of my take? Can I explain why? Okay, so, and by the way, when I say don't punish her, I am not saying I buy her apology, I think that she's actually sorry, or anything like that. I don't. But I do want them to be able to back off. Now look, if she jumps immediately back into it, then of course we're having a different conversation, I think. But if they still censure her in the exact same way, then will they ever apologize again? Will they? Now, notice, she apologized. Why did she apologize? Okay, let's think about that. I think she apologized because there was a little bit of an uproar and there is a precedent of punishment, which means that if you believe what I'm saying, that the punishment is actually having an effect. It didn't stop her from saying it, but it's perhaps making them a little bit cautious. I think if you still punish her, as abhorrent as what she said was, they'll never back off again. They probably won't anyway. Let's be clear. The future is dark no matter what road we go down, but I think that the best chance is backing off. Now, she will say these things again and then, you know, lower the boom on her or whatever. But we need to understand that the countervailing force of the effect that the punishment has had is from the other side. Marjorie Greene tweeted, "Democrats want us censored, shut down, and imprisoned. Never apologize to Islamic terrorist sympathizers, communists, or those who fund murder with our tax dollars. Ilhan and the Jihad Squad are all three and are undeserving of an apology." So she's awful. And the fact that she's going even farther than Boebert, I think buttresses the punishment that she already experienced. I think that backing off a little bit on Boebert until she does it again, and then having Marjorie come out hard in favor of these Islamophobic attacks, I think that kind of helps us to the extent that anything can, to the extent that anything actually gets out there and gets to people. Now, at the end of the day, that's just my opinion. And my opinion, I would say, doesn't matter. What does Ilhan Omar think? What do, you know, American Muslims think? I think that those are very interesting points. And in that case, we will have to see. In her speech, Lauren Boebert spent a lot of time attacking Muslims, attacking, you know, the LGBTQ community. But in her little thing, she did find a little bit of time to give the right the other thing that they want. They want fear and suspicion and hatred, and they want conspiracy theories. So she gave them that as well. I'm going to whip you around to see this.
And the last time I was with President Trump, well, I did have a fancy little red dress to show off. I was sitting in his office in Florida, the new White House.
Yeah.
The real White House.
The real White House, yeah.
That's where everybody seems to be. I don't know.
Ugh. That's just there was such a delay for them to actually cheer. And she must have been so, like, crestfallen at that point. Like, hey, I told you that the election didn't count. Isn't that the thing that you want? Okay, well, look, they liked the line the guy said, the real White House. Maybe she wasn't going clear. She had, like, a little bit of nuance or whatever, and I think that that was too much, I think, at that point. But what she was saying there was, effectively, no, everybody, I also believe that the votes of the 7 million people that Biden got more than Trump don't count, that all of the court cases don't count. I think those things, too. Love me. I believe all the crazy things that you do. And again, she had said previously, let's not get distracted. Let's focus on policy differences. Well, is that what she is doing? Is she focusing on policy? When they spend months after months after months denying the results of an election, despite the fact that we've been through so much of this, not just the dozens and dozens of court cases and the audits of individual states and the recounts in the states that were close and, I don't know, all the other stuff that's gone on over the course of the past year, they still have to do it. There has been no equivalent. There was never anything like this after 2016. Were there people that were mad? Yes. Are there people that were worried about things that might have influenced the outcome? Yes. But literally no one that was considered serious and had an actual following in a durable way ever tried to claim that the election had been stolen. They will try to both sides this. They have done that since 2020, since the election. It simply doesn't exist. This is just a sad... What the right gives, what grifters give, grifters in media and grifters in politics, is making people comfortable. That's what it is. Now, that comfort might come in the form of getting them worked up in the way that they want. These people might be comfortable being afraid. They might be comfortable being angry. But comfort is the goal. And nothing makes these people less comfortable than accepting inconvenient facts. Okay, an inconvenient, difficult truth to accept. And the hardest one for them is they just didn't like your guy. It was still kind of a close election, but they chose the other guy. And so if you were in right-wing media, or if you're a right-wing politician and a grifter, you cannot allow them to ever have to think about that. And so that's what she's giving them there. It's pretty damn see-through. And delivered so poorly. Delivered, like, oh God. And she's so happy with herself with the red dress. Again, is any of this substantive coming out of her? She wants to present herself as one of the next generation of leaders of the right wing, and might well be, I think, a case could be made, in that she at least has a following. But a following towards what? If you have a following, presumably you're leading. What is she leading towards at this point? But anyway, there is still one other horrible thing. And I apologize, everyone, for the volume here. It's the nature of the beast. I saw someone commented, hey, the production value is low. Do you think? It is a little bit. But anyway, tomorrow we'll be back in studio. Okay, Lauren Boebert made a little bit of time in her address over the holidays to once again launch homophobic attacks against Pete Buttigieg. And I will say, as I have always said, I am not a fan of Pete Buttigieg. I have no interest in his presidential aspirations, and I don't think that he was qualified for the position that he has. However, those are, I think, fair, substantive critiques. If you'd like an example of one that is neither of those things, let's take a look at this. And I will remind you, this is a sitting congresswoman.
Meanwhile, you have the Secretary of Transportation, good old Mayor Pete. He wasn't even put in charge of this supply chain crisis. No, someone else was tapped for that because Mayor Pete is still at home trying to figure out how to chest feed. Somebody ought to tell him so he could get back to work.
Right.
That was fun. Somebody ought to tell him what? Someone ought to tell him so he can get back to work. What? Tell him how to chest feed? Tell him, like, was she saying that he can't? That, like, her whole homophobic thing about, like, gay parents aren't really parents? Like, she didn't even complete the thought. She doesn't even know what she's doing. She's really bad at this. But anyway, the overall point was, good old Mayor Pete is wasting our time by taking paternity leave. Because I will remind you, and the reason that I want to focus on these is paternity leave, maternity leave, all of this is good for workers, so they hate it. They despise it, and they want you to turn against it too, okay? They cannot stand against the population pushing for the leave that they deserve, so they have to get you to opt out. And so that attack has been coming from so many different directions. So it might be the Lauren Boeberts. It might be the, oh my God, I'm forgetting it. Joe Rogan. Ah, I forgot for a second what his name was. That was a good moment. Joe Rogan trying to make you feel terrible for taking the leave that you deserve, that you would get in virtually any other country around the world. Do not fall for the con. But the way in this case that she's pushing for it is with homophobic attacks against Pete Buttigieg. Good old Pete Buttigieg. And even that line doesn't make any sense. What history does she have with Pete Buttigieg? The right has barely any history with Pete Buttigieg. Now, I, as a progressive, I could say good old Pete Buttigieg because we've been through these different cycles through the primary with him and dealing with all of his stuff. She doesn't have that. She just throws out words and has no idea what they actually mean or where they should be deployed. But the attack is that he can't chest feed. And I will say this on the chest feeding. I looked this up. It is apparently a regional thing, whether you say chest feed or breastfeed. And I will acknowledge that absent upbringing, neither of those makes more sense than the other. But as a person who's raised in a part of the country that says breastfeed, when you say chest feed, it sounds insane. That's a really weird thing to say. It's not wrong, but it feels wrong. Anyway, here's the thing, Lauren Boebert. Whether he can chest feed or not, he gets to spend time with the kid that he and his husband adopted. They get to do that. Families come in many different forms, okay? Some of them adopt children. Some give birth in trucks. You still get to be a parent regardless, okay? Some people have an old school classic American mom and dad. Some have a mom who's a horrendous Islamophobe and a dad who pulled his dick out in a bowling alley. So families, again, come in all different forms. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other, although in the two examples I gave, the first one's definitely better than the second one. The second one's just awful. This kid's going to grow up all sorts of messed up. And you get to take that time, whether you're straight or gay, cis or trans or whatever the hell you want, you deserve it, okay? Now, what's very interesting about this, and we've showed a couple different videos of her, is that there was pushback against several of her comments. Against the Islamophobic comments, and also against the homophobic comments. She apologized for the Islamophobic comments. She did not apologize for the homophobic comments. And she did not return Insider's request for comment just yesterday. And so far, her apology for what she said about Ilhan Omar was like 3 days ago. And that's it. Nothing else has happened since then. So why is that? Does she believe that what she said wasn't as bad? Does she believe that, I guess, you're just allowed again to make casual homophobic comments? I guess. I mean, that's what it's looking like. And by the way, I haven't seen House Democratic leadership sticking up for him. Now, to be fair, he's not in the House, and Ilhan Omar is. But then shouldn't the White House be sticking up? I don't know. It's just very weird when, like, if we're going to expect some sort of base level of seriousness and maturity from our representatives, then I feel like we should apply that to Muslim Americans and members of the LGBTQ community. Does that seem unfair? I don't know. I think that that's a good idea. With that said, we are burning through this hour so fast that my producers are probably horrified. So let's see if we can make up a little bit of time here. You've probably heard about the Omicron variant, or at least I hope that you have. It's a new variant of COVID-19, and we're still trying to figure out exactly how terrified we should be, but we should at least know what's going on. So there's a little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news, and I've been combing through as much of it as I can to try to figure out what's going on. Now, Dr. Angelique Kotze is a doctor in South Africa. Was one of the, I believe, was the first doctor who flagged the Omicron variant. And her commentary so far has seemingly been aimed at getting us to calm down a little bit. She says that so far, the symptoms that she's seen, people who've had this variant have had more mild versions of COVID. Their symptoms have not been as serious. They haven't lost their sense of smell or taste. Didn't have a cough, which seems like a huge difference from traditional COVID. And so all of that is good news. She seems to be saying, don't freak out too much. But that said, others are. So the World Health Organization labeled Omicron a variant of concern last Friday. Countries across Europe, Asia, and North America have instituted a wave of travel restrictions on Southern African nations, including Southern African nations that have very low levels of COVID, in particular in comparison to us. So we could have a debate about how fair that is. It's not. But there is a new variant, and we don't yet know how terrified we should be about it. So that's a consideration as well. Now, Omicron, which is technically, and you'll never hear this again, the B11529 variant was first identified in Botswana in South Africa and has since spread to Israel, the UK, the Netherlands, Germany, Italy, the Czech Republic, Australia, I should say, Belgium, and Hong Kong. I do not believe that it has yet been found here in the US, so that is good news. In any event, some people are saying good news, some are saying bad news about how serious it's going to be and how big we can expect the response of the United States to be. The WHO says that there's a high number of mutations, 32 variations of the spike protein, that could mean that we're expecting future surges of this because it is more mutated than some of the other variants. Now, the good news is the NIH director said that the boosters, so the booster vaccines that we've been encouraging you to get, do in fact allow your immune system to have a wide range of capabilities against spike proteins it hasn't even seen before. So if you needed one more reason, if you're eligible, you should get boosted. So the boosters are going to protect you not just against traditional COVID and the variants that we've seen, also in South Africa. But also against ones that we haven't yet seen necessarily. Now, let's get into Dr. Anthony Fauci, because he has been making the rounds, doing interviews about this, trying to, partly educate people, partly calm them down, maybe. So we have a bunch of different things here. Some of this seems a little inconsistent. Let's work through it and see what we can figure out. He says we should not be freaking out. We should be doing the things we know work. It's not the time to panic. We should be concerned, and our concern should spur us to do the things we know work. So rather than panicking, rather than freaking out, we should just do the right thing. Okay, so what does that include? Well, getting vaccinated, getting boosted if you're already vaccinated, probably, like social distancing and those sorts of things. Now, he also pointed out that PCR tests do seem to detect the variant perfectly well, so our ability to detect it has not been hindered at the very least. He goes on to say, get vaccinated for those who are unvaccinated. Absolutely, get boosted if you have been. It appears to be spreading very readily. The things that we don't know right now is whether the people who do get infected have a severe form of disease, which I found to be an interesting thing to say. Well, look, at least the doctor we talked about in South Africa is saying it does seem to be mild. I guess, to be fair, one doctor's experience, we have a lot of reason over the past year to not necessarily take the word of any individual doctor. He says the profile of the mutation strongly suggests that it's going to have an advantage in transmissibility, and that it might evade immune protection that you would get, for example, from a monoclonal antibody or from the convalescent serum after a person's been infected, and possibly against even some of the vaccine-induced antibodies. And that's where it gets potentially a little bit scary. So look, we're going to be talking a little bit about natural immunity, which is being talked about a lot by the right. There's reason to believe that Omicron might not be hindered all that much by that, but even potentially by the vaccine. So that sucks. That's the last thing that we want, of course. But what we do want to know at this point is that the best defense we have is to be vaccinated and to get the booster. And that's it. And honestly, if that even marginally, let alone significantly, raises the chance that you'll be protected against even these new variants, it is hardly a difficult thing to ask for. So I've heard a lot of Republicans, many of which like to claim that they're alpha males over the past few years, talk about how, oh, there's always going to be another one. They're going to have you getting a booster for the rest of your life. Every year. Do you know what getting a booster is? You go to Walgreens. And 15 minutes later, you have a booster. Okay, what's the problem with that? Do you not go to CVS once a year anyway? Just do it then. You know what I did? When I got boosted, I got my flu vaccine too. Same time. Bow, bow. That's it. I was gone. I got a bag of candy. It was kind of nice. It was my excuse to get a bag of candy. And then I was off, and I probably don't have to worry about it for 6 months. It's really not that difficult. These are people that love to talk about like how we should serve our country. You should go in the military. Like, you expect all of that? You won't get a shot every 6 months at a Walgreens? Pathetic. Now, the fact that the Omicron variant is now being talked about means that the conspiracy theories were never going to be far off, and they're already here, and they are pathetic. So, Trilby Smith said, Omicron, new C19 variant, check it. It's an anagram for moronic. Oh, dear. That is true. Moronic, definition, adjective, very foolish or stupid. I love that the conspiracy theorists felt the need to define moronic in their tweet. They are just making fun of people now. Please wake up and quit being the butt of the joke. We are waiting to progress forward. And then there's a gif of wakey wakey. That's not why they named it that. That's stupid. Like, they love this stuff. Man, like, they should really just get into numerology because it's at least more compelling, the difficulty you need to do in getting the 6 and adding in the 19 if you divide by how many years the WHO has been around. Omicron is a Greek letter. It's been around for thousands of years. It's not new. We already had Delta. Was that not an indication that we might progress through the Greek alphabet? But no, they find it very convincing. And, by the way, Trilby Smith is not the only person to come up with this. Lynn's Pizza says, just realized, the Omicron variant is an anagram of moronic. It's also very timely. Right before Christmas, here comes a new variant. Great for lockdowns, and just in time for the media to start bleeding on constantly about getting the booster while blaming the unvaccinated. Well, you know one way that you could avoid the bleeding? Just get it. Just shut up and get it. It'll take you 5 minutes, you can get a bag of candy. But here is the place where it gets a little bit more fun. So these absolute randos on Twitter are getting hundreds of retweets from their, like, of course it's going to come, they need it now. But there has never been less of a gap between randos on Twitter and people who get paid millions to spread this stuff on the House floor, on Fox News, on independent right-wing media. And I want to demonstrate that for you. Now, take a look at this video from Fox and Friends.
Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, is potentially our new president in, 2024, or so the Democrats want, has said, we can't fix the supply chain problem until the pandemic is over, until COVID is over. And now we see these new variants. So that's the answer, is more lockdowns, more fear. And therefore, he doesn't have to do his job of fixing the supply chain because we'll just keep this whole thing going.
It's always a new variant.
And you can always, you'll count on a variant about every October, every 2 years.
Oh, I think it's going to, yep. You're probably right.
I mean, however, they
could speed up. The variants could come more quickly. Yep,
we're going to need a new variant
emergency
here.
My fear. Gosh.
It's not great. It's going to come more quickly. Can I get a variant? I'm not really qualified for this. Anyway, they get paid millions to do that, so the joke's on us. They get paid more than all of us collectively to convince people to not take this seriously. So, yes, you're gonna get a new variant every October. Why did he say that? Because his mind is mush. It's moldy oatmeal, and he remembers that things got really bad last year in October into November, December, and all of that. We had the dark winter. We had that. Likely because of the onset of cold weather and people being huddled together, as well as the holidays and a lot of travel. We didn't have it because of a new variant. The new variant came after that, but he has no idea. Again, moldy oatmeal. What he is probably worried about is that things could get bad again. And he knows that things could get bad again because he knows that COVID isn't a hoax, that it is real. They know all of this, these rich vaccinated people on Fox and Friends, but they do have to, again, keep their audience comfortable. And their audience has been told to not take this seriously, to not actually worry about it. So they're gonna stick with that. So they would say, if you were to ask them, so are you against all of this stuff? Like, you seem like you're pro-COVID. They would say, no, I'm not pro-COVID. I'm just against the mandates. What part of any of this has to do with the mandates? Literally just spending time on your morning show for an audience of millions of people telling them they make up the variants. They don't make up the variants. The variants exist. And by the way, how is it happening? How are these variants developing? In countries around the world, lots of people are still highly sick with huge case counts of COVID in countries that have very low vaccination rates because they don't have access to the vaccine or they don't have nearly enough of it. And so mutations develop and then spread. And I will ask you, What did we say was going to happen? If we continue to stay sick, if we don't help other countries, if we allow them to continue to have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases a day over months and months, what did we say was going to happen? But they say, no, don't worry about it. We don't want the vaccine, but we definitely don't want anyone else to get it. What did we say would happen? Over and over and over again, they deny and they lie, and then things get bad again, and then they don't care about that either. We said that the winter was going to be dark last year, and they said, don't worry about it, continue to travel, don't let it affect your behavior in any way. And then things got really bad. Did they care? Did they apologize? Did they integrate that into their learning? No, they haven't learned literally anything, or at least they want to convince you that they haven't. And what is their plan? I'm going to go to one more video for you. More amazing lying. Here is Anthony Mace, Republican Congresswoman.
In some studies that I've read, natural immunity gives you 27 times more protection against future COVID infection than a vaccination. And so we need to take all of the science into account and not selectively choosing what science to follow when we are making policy decisions.
That was Nancy Mace saying, well, I saw some study that said that just getting sick was 27 times better than the vaccine stops you from getting sick. So we need not be selective with our science. Where? What study? What study? What study says that getting COVID is 27 times better for antibodies than the vaccine? It doesn't exist and she's not providing it. But there's another important point that she's sort of glossing over there, which is not just about whether she has the study. Okay, you can get the vaccine or you can have the natural immunity, which isn't immunity. What's the major difference between those two things? Getting vaccinated and getting natural immunity. One requires you to get COVID. So if you're worried about getting COVID, I've got a plan for you. Get COVID, and then maybe you'll be a little bit protected against getting COVID. That's a crazy thing for an individual person to say, but when you come on Fox News and then they say, as they did in that interview, it's amazing how successful your state has been in generating natural immunity. That just means more people are getting COVID. This is the herd immunity thing. I understand they're using different terminology. It's the same thing. Just let people get COVID. Just let it run rampant. Never mind the fact that, of course, if you're vaccinated and you get it, you're much more likely to be asymptomatic. And if you have symptoms, to have a much lighter case, to not experience long COVID to the same degree, to not have to go to a hospital. No, their plan is just get it. We've been saying for a year and a half, they're pro-COVID, and we're the crazies for saying that. Their plan is, if you're worried about COVID, go get COVID. But I'm crazy. By the way, there's other... Nancy Mace is out there. Ronnie Jackson says, here comes the MEV, the midterm election variant. They need a reason to push unsolicited nationwide mail-in ballots. Democrats will do anything to cheat during election, but we're not going to let them. Yep, we came up with Omicron in Botswana a year before the election so that we could have mail-in ballots. That's how it works. What are you talking about? The Democrats can't even pass one of their voting rights bills. Like, they literally are doing nothing. The entire national conversation, legislatively, in terms of this, has been generated by right-wing Republicans infringing on people's right to vote. That's it. But the Democrats will stop at nothing to lie. Michael Knowles, who's one of, like, the Ben Shapiro clones, he had said, spoiler alert, there's always going to be another variant. And Ted Cruz quote retweeted that with, true that. Which, first of all, ugh. Second of all, that is a senator saying there's always going to be another variant. So don't worry. Why are you taking this seriously? They make it up. It's convenient. Botswana generated a new variant because the Democrats need it at some point. God, Ted Cruz. Stephen Miller, like, found out about Omicron and went on the news and said, if Trump were president, we would already have modified vaccines for the new Omicron variants. First of all, how? Second of all, We don't even know if it needs to be modified yet. The vaccines we have might be fine. And third of all, I got news for you, Stephen Miller. If Trump were still president and you had the new variants for Omicron in the vaccine, you'd be telling people not to take it. Because that's all you people have done this entire time. You wouldn't be going on Fox News to tell them to take the new variant. You sure wouldn't be doing that, because they'd consider you a commie if you did that. Okay, now really fast. We only have a few more minutes. I do want to do one more video. So let's get into this. I cannot believe that the entire hour and a half is almost gone. Let's jump into this.
Where, not at least within the cultural sphere, there seems to be a call from a tiny yet very vocal minority that every male character or good role model must have a female replacement. One only needs to look at the discussion surrounding who will play the next James Bond. And it's not just James Bond. In recent years, we have seen Doctor Who, Ghostbusters, Luke Skywalker, The Equalizer, all replaced by women. And men are left with the craze and Tommy Shelby. Is there any wonder we are seeing so many young men committing crime?
That right there is Conservative Member of Parliament Nick Fletcher. And the reason I wanted to play you that video was so that you know that there are weak, pathetic men in countries other than the United States. He believes that because women are being cast in some roles that men used to have, that that is why men commit crimes. And you might already be sort of figuring out that there's a few logical issues with that. So first of all, before Ghostbusters and before the talk about James Bond, were women committing tons of crimes? I mean, after all, they didn't have good role models. I mean, what were they watching? Like Killing Eve and Thelma and Louise. I mean, they see all these criminals and that's it. No positive role models. That's why women were killing everyone left and right. No, wait, actually men were still killing people back then. Men were killing people back when they had their role models of Dirty Harry and Clint Eastwood and, okay, there have been good and bad role models for a very long time. The idea that a talk about James Bond, which by the way, virtually everyone that they talk about for being James Bond is still a guy, or that Doctor Who had a woman, the idea that that is causing men to commit crimes is so on its face pathetic that I'm almost impressed that you would go and speak where you know cameras are and, like, culturally cuck yourself so thoroughly. It is so incredibly pathetic. I want to throw into this a tweet that Joe Rogan sent that implies that hard times create strong men, which create good times, which create good men, which create hard times. And the, we're going to put this into the video. It's like a little chart. The implication there being that he is one of the strong men. His life is being paid millions of dollars to chit-chat and gossip while doing drugs, which is a fine life. It's basically my life too, except for the millions of dollars. Hardly like strong men. He's not chopping down trees. Okay, so now he chit-chats before he told people to eat bugs. I don't understand these supposed alpha males. I just don't get literally any of them. They are so whiny, so constantly aggrieved and victimized. How is that consistent with any of their supposed alpha male stuff? I just don't understand it. And so, look, there is an assault against men, and it is men being dragged down by weaklings. Some of them have podcasts, some are members of parliament. You got Josh Hawley too. There are a lot of grifters that are trying to convince men to be weak, to be emotional, to constantly look at anyone who's not like them as a threat, and to as a result of that, to be so constantly scared, so constantly anxious, terrified of how people are perceiving you, that you will be desperate to follow these grifters, to be told what you can do so that you won't seem weak for a bit. It's pathetic. It's pathetic here, and it's pathetic in the UK as well. Okay, unfortunately, we are way over. I want to thank everyone for joining me for the Shed Show. Hopefully the last Shed Show. Our power should be back tomorrow, but we'll have to see. Anyway, Indisputable is coming up in just a few minutes. Let me let you know who is going to be co-hosting. Also, our top 10 list will be coming up soon. Molly Parmer is going to be joining Dr. Rashad Ritchie. Josiah Lippincott will be on for debate, so you're not going to want to miss that. If you're a tier 2 or tier 3 member, The top 10 list is going to be coming up a little bit later on, but thank you, everyone. Everyone's saying more shed shows. You do not mean that, but thank you. Thank you to the Twitch chat and in the YouTube chat. Appreciate you all being here, and I will see you soon. Oh, well, I guess, you know, we should have some tradition still. Stay safe out there. Stay sane out there, and I'll see you soon. Stay in a shed out there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.